The 55th Psalm. We're going to begin reading this morning in verse 1. Psalm 55, that's page 454 in your pew Bible. You know, the Scripture talks about, while you're turning to page 454, Scripture talks about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 14, that is to edify and to exhort, to encourage, to comfort. And so there are times, I think, that God gives us specific words, like a word of knowledge for someone. And so I thank you for being open to those times when God does that, and we certainly want to hunger for more of that, because Paul wrote the church at Corinth, and he tells them, he said, all these gifts you've got going on, they're all good, but I want to show you something. Of all the gifts you should desire, prophecy should be the gift you desire the most. So this, when prophecy occurs, that should be something that we say, and this is what God likes. This is what God wants for us. Okay, by now you're at page 454. Psalm 55, let's stand together as we read God's Word. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 8 of Psalm 55. And let's read together. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and answer me. I am troubled in my complaint. I am distraught by the noise of the enemy because of the clamor of the wicked. For they bring trouble upon me, and in anger they cherish enmity against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Truly, I would flee far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter for myself from the raging wind and tempest. God bless you. You can be seated. Today we're beginning a new series that is kind of, it's going to be under the big category of We Faint Not. But today I want to talk to you about, I think the bulletin, I put it in the bulletin, flight path. You know, IHOP, International House of Pancakes, has a commercial running right now, and at the very end of the commercial, it has these six words: we could all use a pancake. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a pancake could solve the problems that we have in our lives? Wouldn't it be wonderful if a pancake could heal our broken heart, could assuage our fear and anxiety? If a pancake could restore that broken relationship? If a pancake could bring healing to a body or healing to a heart? If that were true, the line would really be long today at IHOP. But we know the truth, that there are no easy fixes or solutions. That emotional pain takes time to heal, and it often leaves a scar that for years is tender to the touch. That the toll taken on our psyche by the events of the last 2 years are going to be difficult to remedy. And for those who say, I'll be glad when things go back to normal, the truth is things never go back to normal. Normal always changes. Friday, CNN released a survey that said 69% of Americans are saying things in our country today are going badly, with the primary concern being the state of our economy, the coronavirus, and the rapid increase in crime. The 55th Psalm was written by King David, and very likely was written while David was fleeing from Jerusalem. A civil war had broke out. One of his sons had revolted and was leading a civil war, trying to overthrow David from the throne. And not only is his son turned against him, but David's closest friend and his closest political advisor, a man by the name of Ahithophel, who was the grandfather of Bathsheba, if you remember her story, has now allied himself with David's son Absalom and is advising Absalom not only on how to overthrow the throne of David, but how to kill David. David is writing this song in the middle of dealing with a civil war in his land. his self-imposed exile from Jerusalem, the shattered relationship with his son, and the betrayal of his closest friend. The New Oxford Annotated Bible said this about this psalm, and I quote, "It is the petition of an individual emotionally distraught by the violence of the community and the deceit of his friend." In the Complete Jewish Study Bible puts the passage that we read this way, "Listen, God, to my prayer. Don't hide yourself from my plea. Pay attention to me and answer me. I am panic-stricken as I make my complaint. I shudder at how my enemy shouts, at how the wicked oppress me, for they keep heaping trouble on me and angrily tormenting me. My heart within me is pounding in anguish. The terrors of death press down on me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. Horror covers me." As we read this psalm and we read how David is responding to his world, it almost sounds like how we would respond in the light of the events that have gone on and continue to go on in our nation and in our world. Psalm 55, verses 1 and 2, David began the psalm saying this, "Give ear to my prayer, O God. Do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me," or "pay attention to me, and answer me. I'm troubling in my complaint." David is verbalizing a question that we all have asked sometimes, and it is this, does God hear my prayers? Does God hear my prayers? Is it futile to just pray and nothing changes, or it seems like the more I pray, the worse things get? Or does God even hear my prayers? Is God paying attention to me? And that's what David is saying. He's saying, "Hear me, God. Pay attention to me. Listen to me." It leads into verse 3, where David writes, "I'm distraught by the noise of the enemy, because of the clamor of the wicked, for they bring trouble upon me, and in anger they cherish enmity against me." The New Living Translation takes that last part of that verse and translates it this way, "My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats." And it leads to a second question that I'm sure David had, and we have at times, and it is this, is my problem bigger than God? Is this situation I'm facing, is this too much for God to handle? Is all the things that are going on in my life, that are going on in the lives of my family, and going on in the lives of my friends, that are going on in my nation, that are going on in my world, is it just too much for God to handle? And then in verses 4 and 5, David gives us a revelation of how he is responding to all this anxiety in his life. He said, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me." You know what David is describing? He's describing post-traumatic stress disorder. He's saying that all this, these things that are happening in my life, they are weighing down on me so heavily that my body is beginning to break down because of all the stress and the fear and the anxiety. He says, I'm shaking with fear. I'm trembling. Horror has overwhelmed me. All I can think about is bad things and how bad things are and how bad things are getting. And it seems like there's no relief. It seems like it's just one thing after another. Just boom, boom, boom. Then there's no relief. There's no respite. There's no rest between all this stuff. And David is saying, my body is just breaking down under the weight of all this anxiety and this fear. And so how does David respond? Well, it's amazing as you read this psalm, you can see us in it. You can see how we react to our world. You can see how we're reacting to everything that's going on in our nation. You can see how we're reacting to what's going on in our lives and the lives of our family members and friends with this just almost like I'm exhausted. I can't take anymore. It's like somebody keeps piling rocks on my back and there's no relief. And so David, in the midst of all this, he begins to fantasize about what he'd like to do. He begins to tell himself what he would like to do in the midst of all these problems. He says this, "I would fly away and be at rest." Do you sometimes just say to yourself, "Man, I just need to get away. I need to get out from under this. I got to have a break. I need to go somewhere and just not turn on the television and not leave my cell phone at home." I have a friend, he and I go play golf together, and he always takes his cell phone. I'm like, I thought this was to get away from that. We don't know how to get away from it. It surrounds us. It's everywhere we turn. It's every little thing we see on Facebook and every little app. And it's this problem and that problem and this statistic and that statistic and this number and that number and this person and that person. And David is saying to us that there is within us, there can be within us, this desire to just run. He says, "I want to fly away and be at rest." I can almost see David. You know, sometimes you go to those fountains and there's all kinds of money in them, and always have to be careful. Sherry wants to get in them and start picking the money up. But you go to those fountains and you stand there with a coin and you flip it in the coin and you make a wish. You know, "I wish this penny was a dollar. I wouldn't be flipping it in the coin in the fountain." I can see David in his mind. He's just like going to a fountain and he's saying, "Here's my wish list. Here's what I wish I could do right now. And number one on my wish list is get away from here. I wished I could fly away and be at rest." In fact, he says it this way, "I would fly away and be at rest. I would flee far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter for myself." David said, "I would go to Alaska and live off the grid if I could just get away from this. I just want to fly away. I want to find a place. I want to go hide in the wilderness. I want to build a cabin somewhere up on top of a mountain with no roads getting to it. That's where I want to go. That's what I need. I just need to get away and just never come back." I can identify, you can identify with David's wish to run from his problems. To feel like there's no solution. To feel like I can't take any more of this. I'm just ready to walk away from it all. Just leave. Just get out of town. And what was that song about? I think Mac Davis sang it about, "I thought heaven was Lubbock, Texas in my rearview mirror." You know? I could just get away, go somewhere new, just get away from this. We say things like, "If I could just get on a plane and go to a deserted island, if I could just get away for a while and get some rest, if I could just get away from this phone and this computer and these meetings and this job, if I could just build a house in the middle of nowhere and people would just leave me alone." There are many escapes that we attempt. The American Psychology Association defines escapism as, and I quote, "the tendency to escape from the real world to the safety and comfort of a fantasy world." You know, one of the reasons people like to go to Disney World is perfect. Even though it is a small, small world, it's perfect. There's no trash on the ground. Everybody is happy. Mickey and Minnie love each other. It's wonderful. And then you have to go back to the parking lot. if you can find your car that somebody has knocked one of the mirrors off of, and you come back into the real world. In 2020, I don't have the statistics for this year, of course, but in 2020, in our country, there were 93,000 drug overdose deaths, 20,000 more than the previous high that was set in 2019, and the largest single percentage increase on record since 1999. 93,000 people died by drug overdose. In 2019, 1.4 million Americans attempted suicide. It resulted in almost 50,000 deaths, or one death every 11 minutes. So if you're in church an hour, five people have killed themselves during that 1 hour. It is the second leading cause of death for people ages 10 to 34. Drugs, alcohol abuse, work, food, gambling, the internet, television, unhealthy relationships, daydreaming, any of these and many more are activities that we can choose to escape our reality, to get away without getting away. Someone said this, if you keep entertaining yourself with something to avoid your reality, you are living in escapism. If you keep living in something to avoid your reality, you're living in escapism. So David, and we didn't read it in our text, but David comes to a place of resolution. He comes to a place of where he resolves what he's going to do. He's talked about, I want to get away, I want to leave, I want to just forget it all, I want to chunk it all and just start over. I want to get away from all these problems. I want to get away from all this anxiety. I want to get away from all these things that are going on around me that just seem like they're swirling around me all the time. I want to get away from this. And David realizes he cannot get away from it. There is no escape. That what he would turn his heart to is not going to simplify his problems. It's going to compound his problem. Friday, I was asked to officiate, or actually Monday, I was asked to officiate at a graveside service Friday for a 49-year-old young man. And I called his older brother, the next of kin, and I said to him, tell me about your brother. Tell me something that'll help me write this eulogy. And he said, well, he had a good heart. He loved animals. He was a good carpenter. But then there was a pause, and he said, but he was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And I haven't had contact with him for years. And I thought, well, the brother lives out of town. Until Friday, I found out that both those men were living right here in this city. One chose to escape his reality in one way. He turned to drugs and alcohol. And the other one chose to escape his reality in another way. He just cut him off. If I don't have to see it, I don't have to deal with it. Both of them were living in escapism. And David realizes that running away or turning my attention to something else is not going to solve my problem, and it's not going to bring me peace in my heart. So we have to go all the way down in Psalm 55 to verse 22, where David says this, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." So David comes to this conclusion after pouring out his complaint to God and saying, "I don't know if you listen to me when I pray. I don't know if you hear me. I don't know if you're interested in my problems. I don't know. Maybe my problems are too big for you. Maybe, you know, it's just you're overwhelmed by life like I am. I don't know, but nothing is changing. Things are going from bad to worse and nothing good. I see nothing good. And I just want to get away. I just want to leave. I just want to escape all this." But then David, after pouring all this out of his heart and exposing his heart to God, he comes to this conclusion. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Peter echoed that same thought in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where Peter writes and says, "Cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you." The truth is, none of us have answers to all that we see going on in our world today. None of us have answers for what we see going on in the lives of our children, for what we see going on in the lives of our grandchildren, for what we see going on in our own life. None of us have an answer. None of us have a solution. And some of us have realized that the solutions the world offers you are not solutions. We don't have all the answers. We do not understand all that is going on. I have talked to Sherry about this several times during the last 3 weeks. I had two friends who were in the hospital in different states, different cities, at the same time. Both of them are about the same age. They're mid-50s. Both of them hospitalized with COVID. Both of them pastors. One of them pastoring in Fort Pierce, Florida. The other one pastoring in Greenwood, South Carolina. One of them was a man that, while he was serving here at a church, I met him every month for breakfast. He and I would meet together and talk. The other one pastored in Baltimore, Maryland, and hired me to come on staff at a church where I met Sherry. Both of them were very special men in my life. Both of them hospitalized at the same time with COVID. Both of them put into ICU. Both of them put on ventilators. One of them dies, the other one recovers. I don't understand. I don't understand that kind of stuff. I don't understand when prayers are going up for this one and prayers are going up for this one and people are posting on Facebook, when this one is getting better, God is good, He answers prayer. And what do you post on Facebook about this one? God is good, He answers prayer. That's the conflict. Those are the type of conflicts that we sometimes find ourselves in. Of God, I don't understand. I can't figure out my life, and I can't understand why there's no breaks, why things don't get any better. And so David is going through this. He is grieving over this broken relationship with his son, and his son will soon die. He's grieving that his best friend has turned his back on him. And if you read on in the Scripture, this best friend commits suicide. He's grieving that he's had to leave Jerusalem and the temple. He's grieving that he's running for his life. And he's pouring out his heart to God. And he's saying, I don't understand, God. Do you hear me? Are you listening? Do you hear my prayers? But then he comes to the place where he makes a statement in the midst of his pain, and in the midst of his problems, and in the midst of his perplexity about all that is going on around him and his inability to understand it, he comes to this conclusion: cast your burden on the Lord. Cast your burden on the Lord. So what do I do? Well, here's what I do. When I want to escape, I have to escape to a place of prayer. When I want to hear good news, I have to turn off the television and go to God's Word. When I want to be built up, I don't have to pull into Jack's Liquors or whoever that it is now. I have to turn to God and say, God, help me. When I have questions that I don't understand, I have to bring them to the Lord in all honesty and say, Lord, I don't understand your ways. Your ways are higher than my ways, and your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And I don't see what you see, and I don't understand, and I don't know how to explain this to anyone. But I do know this. I trust you. I trust you. And I have to fall back on that. That even though nothing is changing that I can see, I have to come back to that place where I say, God, I still trust you. David said, God will sustain you. Peter said, God cares about you. I have to just lean into that. I have to lean into that. When my heart is broken over a friend who dies, I have to lean into that. If there's a relationship broken in my life with a family member, I have to lean into that, that you care for me. It's very easy today to be overwhelmed by life and to focus on the pain and the anxiety and to just feel like, I can't take it anymore. But this is to be the shining day of the church. This is to be the times in which the church comes back to what we have always given mouth to and now are having to realize that it's got to become true. And it is this: we trust our God. My heart is fixed, the Scripture says. Jesus said, the storms are going to come and the rain is going to beat and the winds are going to blow. And if you've built your life on anything other than the rock, you're going to face destruction. This is the time in which we that in the midst of our pain and in the midst of our sorrow, in the midst of our questions and in the midst of the darkness, we are still holding up the light and saying, I'm going to let this light shine because I believe God. Lord, today, it's so easy for us to want to get away. So easy for us to want to run. It's so easy, Lord, for us to throw in the towel and just say, I give up. It's so easy, Lord, for us to let our hearts go after things and we think that if I can just get away on the weekends and or if I can do this or I can do that, if I could have this, then life would be good. And we find out, Lord, that those things really don't bring satisfaction. They just require more commitment. Lord, may we be like David, who said, I'm going to cast my burdens on the Lord, and He will sustain me. May we, Lord, not only this day, but in the days ahead, because, Lord, Your Word says it's not going to get better. Wickedness is going to increase. The darkness is going to increase. The line of demarcation is going to increase. Lord, we're going to have to learn, if we haven't learned it already, we're going to have to learn to cast our burdens upon You. So Lord, today we look to you with praise and adoration for your goodness and your faithfulness to us, your children. And we express today that our hope and our confidence is in you. In Jesus' name, amen.